We're flying high with the wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. Back, welcome to Outside the Box right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. Kyle Bennett, Herm the intern on the voice line. Got a lot to talk about today, including the Wings getting another Buffalo defenseman via the free agent wire because he was cut for a good player's return. We've got St. Patrick's Day uniforms, we've got our picks of the week, and we've got a new city on the slate for the PLL. Herm, what's poppin', brother?
What's going on, my guy? Happy to be back, and would you say that we picked up a gooder player for a good player?
I think we picked up a quality player, and we're going to get into that in just a second, but Wings coming off a tough loss, as you heard on our post-game show with myself and Alex, not Herm, Alex on 11th, that is, because we have so many Alexes here at Underground Sports Philadelphia, it's bonkers, but Alex and I did the post-game show from the press box after the game. Paul Day was not happy at all, to say the least. Unfortunately, my audio from the press conference was corrupt. I don't know what happened. Shout out to my iPhone for doing that. But players weren't happy, and you can hear all of that recap on that show. Make sure you're subscribed to us on the Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, all that good stuff. Leave those 5-star ratings and reviews. Get us back on the top 200 chart. We're 35-star reviews away from 200, so that'd be pretty awesome to hit that milestone sooner rather than later. But looking at the week that was in the NLL, Herm, to recap last week's activities, obviously Buffalo beats our Wings in overtime 12-11. Georgia then goes and beats Buffalo 14-9 in Buffalo, a big win for the Swarm. San Diego takes care of Colorado 13-10, but Colorado's jerseys were amazing. And then Calgary hosts Toronto, and they took them down 15-9. And Toronto, it doesn't get any easier for them because they lose one of their better players to the injured reserve list, and that is the one and only Mr. Jones, Adam Jones, is on IR for Toronto. What'd you think of last week's games?
Yeah, the three-headed monsters lost a head, and it's going to be tough for them. But hopefully he's back before the playoffs, and we'll be all good soon. But it was an interesting week. I mean, the Wings obviously let me down, to say the least. I really thought we had that one in the bag. I almost stopped watching in the fourth quarter because I figured we'd walk out of there with a win. And I was getting late, and, you know, I go to bed before 10 p.m. So I really thought that we were going to walk out of there with that one. So to watch that end the way it did was heartbreaking. I think Paul Day summed it up the best with his reaction as to, what was it again? It was like,
This isn't school.
This isn't school, right. This is not school. We're done learning. We've played enough games now to know how to play lacrosse. So it's frustrating to watch us drop the ball at the end of the game, especially on the defensive end, because it was looking pretty strong for us for one of the first times all season. I thought that Doug Buchan did a pretty good job in net until the end. He looked like he got tired, so maybe we just have to always switch out the goalie in the last 7 minutes of the game. But I don't really know what the way to solve this is. We're struggling. Obviously, I think we're out of playoff contention now, in my opinion. So at this point, we just need to work on the season and try and finish out as strong as possible and gain a little momentum going in the next season. But then beyond that, the Georgia and Buffalo game and then San Diego and Colorado, those were two fun games to watch. I mean, saw a lot of talent. I obviously picked Georgia, and they came in. They were ready to play against a good Buffalo team that was probably pretty beat up from the night before. And San Diego came out and shocked me because I really did not have them playing well in Calgary, Colorado. But Colorado kind of let me down, man.
Yeah, they let me down too, and we'll get to our pick recaps later on in the show. But I agree, I think they were two good games, like you mentioned, Buffalo and Georgia. Really expected Georgia to lose that one, to be honest, just because we know how deadly Buffalo's home field advantage is, and they were able to go in there and take care of business. Colorado kind of went with the wild card pick there, just because, you know, we loved the jerseys last week, and that's what we do. We're always on Uni Watch.
They've been playing really well. Yeah. It's not like it wasn't a very outrageous pick at all, in my opinion. I thought that it was a Colorado team that's coming off some really great weeks of playing in a row, and they would keep it up, but they kind of dropped the ball a little. They looked a little slow. I think there was a lot of not a lot of pressure going into the game, but they felt a little bit of a little something going in there because they came out a little slow.
Yeah, a little slow. It could have been, you know, due to the shakeup of the roster with Vitarelli coming in there, Benesh being gone. So that could have been, you know, just a chemistry issue, but we'll see how that kind of plays out for them. And then obviously Calgary takes care of business and looked like the old school wagon, and they beat Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, I always let the wagon go just a little bit, and as soon as I do that, they make me regret it. So, I mean, Calgary is a very good squad. They're just always going to be a toss-up for me. You never know which team you're going to get with them. You're going to get one of three teams, and it's bad, average, or good. So maybe even great once in a while. But, yeah. So it was a good weekend for lacrosse, though. I really enjoyed it. I mean, great weekend for the NLL.
Yeah, and Curtis Dixon dropped the gloves a bunch, got 8 assists, and, you know, he added to one of our catchphrases on Outside the Box, and that's hashtag ding ding. And if ding, you ding. Missed it, make sure you go cop our ding ding apparel and merch right now. It's on our TeePublic storefront. It's pretty awesome. And I'm not just saying that because I designed it, but it's lacrosse gloves hanging like they're boxing gloves. And I'm going to have to get my hands on a shirt and possibly a tapestry for the studio to bring with us places. But I'm pretty proud of that design, and it looks awesome. So if you missed out on it, make sure you go cop the ding ding merch.
It is fire. Yeah, no, it's got that, I don't want to call it like off-white or supreme gist to it, but it's like just subtle enough that it's perfect, and I really love it. Yeah, maybe a new OTB logo,
super simple, super super wearable with anything. So make sure you go cop it. Short sleeve, long sleeve, crew necks, tapestries, stickers, mugs, you name it, it's on there.
Phone case.
Phone cases, pillows, hoodies, onesies for your babies. Get the baby
condoms
started with the ding ding movement. But that's available for you guys. The link is on our pinned tweet on Twitter at OTBLaxPod. So you can check it out there and check out all of our designs that we have available on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Network. Little birthday shout out. It is Saskatchewan Rush, the one and only Mike Messenger's birthday today, Thursday, March 14th, which is also Pi Day. So happy birthday to Messenger. And speaking of this weekend, though, Herm, and UniWatch, we saw this a couple hours ago that the NLL tweeted out that the Seals, as they take on our Wings, the Toronto Rock, and the Roughnecks will be wearing St. Patrick's Day themed unis, and man, they are fire.
Do you think he ever eats pie on his birthday because it's Pie Day?
I would be disappointed if he doesn't.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty good idea. Oh, but those jerseys, yeah.
They are heat.
They are absolute fiery flames of craziness that I love. I mean, the Seals just absolutely kill it because, if I'm being totally honest, I kind of hated this logo on like their home and away jerseys from the beginning of the season. But you throw a freaking St. Patrick's Day top hat on there, I'm into it.
And they did well with the little Trident logo that's typically on top of the logo, putting it on the hat band. That jersey looks amazing. We've also retweeted this on our Twitter, so you can check them out. The nice little plaid and green and gold scheme for the Toronto Rock looks fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Roughnecks changed up the outfit that the Roughneck mascot's in to green, gave them a nice little hat. The stripes are green instead of red, and then there's some clovers on the bottom of the jersey. I think that one might be my favorite.
Really?
I like it a lot. I don't know. I think it's the black and green color scheme together. It just looks really cool.
Yeah, I usually like the all blackout jerseys. That's how you feel about the Wings too. I don't know, man. I think that the Rock might win it for me. Those are fire.
I think they're all beautiful. I mean, they're all great. We need these jerseys sent to us somehow, some way. Please,
one of
you guys. Seals, Toronto, Calgary. Calgary, you follow us on Twitter. You're the only team out of these three that follows. Hook us up. Help us out. We'll display it in our studio, and we will send you pictures of it to prove that it's in our studio.
Yeah, we'll do anything.
But those jerseys are absolute heat. I like that they're doing this. Especially, you know, I wish every team would have some sort of flair because it's a nice little holiday weekend of games. I wish every league did something like this. It's usually only like minor league baseball, and now we see it in the NLL, but I love these little spin-off jerseys that the NLL's been doing all season long, whether it was Colorado uniforms last week, the Wings throwback uniforms for throwback night. The NLL does a good job with jersey designs, to say the least.
Right, and that's kind of what I was going to get into there for a minute, but you really like the St. Patrick's Day jerseys, eh?
I think they're fire. I think it's clever, it's unique, and they did a great job with all three of them.
You know, you should become a Red Sox fan because they wear green jerseys.
Hey, the Phillies do the same thing, brother.
Oh, never mind. Back to lacrosse.
I like these jerseys a lot. I think, you know, it's unique. I think, you know, the three teams wearing them, they just did a good job, and I think it's going to fit each team well. And I'm excited to actually see them on the players this weekend. And maybe we'll have a 3-0 potential for the St. Paddy's uniforms, but Wings are getting a win, so sorry, San Diego.
Yeah, but we don't really want that, man.
Yeah, we'll see. Speaking of the Wings, though, they get another Buffalo defenseman, not via trade this time, it's via the free agent wire. It's Matt Bennett, no relation to me as far as I know. He gets signed to a 2-year deal by the Wings after he was released from Buffalo to make room for Josh Byrne from the injured reserve list. I think it's a good signing. He's 26 years old, so he's still in that young core that, you know, Paul Day wants to assemble with his defense. He's played with a bunch of the defensemen on this team, whether it was Ryan Wagner, who came here earlier in the Chris Cloutier trade. You know, he's played with Chet Konecny. He's played with Frank Brown, I believe. So he's played with a bunch of the guys on the team, so I think that played a part in it as well, having the chemistry there. He is expected to play this weekend in San Diego, so that's a good sign as well. And just another, you know, under-the-radar nice pickup for the Wings that they didn't have to trade for as well, because the trade deadline, come and gone, the Wings don't make any moves at the deadline, so they just go the free agent route, and I think they get a quality player to add to this defense.
I could not agree more. I think that this is a huge pickup for us, but the thing that baffles me with all of our transactions with Buffalo, if I had to say we had, like, a team that we hated the most and, like, the guys just get on the floor and they just want to fight the whole time, it'd be Buffalo. So I wonder if there's any, like, awkwardness in the locker room when they swap teams.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good call.
Obviously not for Klutch, because the more that I think about it, I think Klutch actually hated us and he never wanted to be in Philadelphia because he went up to a Buffalo and now he's, like, rookie of the week or player of the week every freaking week. But, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good signing, like I said, and it's just going to add more depth to this team, especially with Chet going on IR. I think it just gives you healthy bodies. And, you know, Paul Day said on the conference call this week that they needed, you know, they just needed guys out there that are going to be healthy and able to play. So he adds to that, and he's fast, he's physical. Only played in four games for Buffalo this year because, as you know, they drafted two of the top defensemen in the draft this year, so he kind of just fell, you know, short of the stick there. But he's going to get some playing time with the Wings now, and he's going to be here next year too, which I think is an important part of the contract. It's not just a rest-of-the-season thing. He's going to be here next year too for, you know, the foreseeable future as far as we know. So nice under-the-radar pickup for the Wings this week to just add depth. And he's going to be wearing number 15 with the Wings. Saw that today on their Instagram story with the name placards that they're going to be putting up in San Diego's locker room this week. So thoughts on the number for Mr. Bennett there, Herm?
I really like the number 15. I wore it for many years, both on the ice and off. So I'll be number brothers with you there. And 15 is a great number, man. I mean, it's a mid-range. You're not top 10, but you're also not an offensive lineman.
Yeah, so it's quality.
I like it a lot. I think 15 will be flying high with the Wings here for a couple of years.
And I see what really you did there.
Defensive squad.
See what you did there. Yeah, I think it's a good number, and you know he's a loose ball machine too. That's the big thing that I took away from looking at his numbers in his career. He gets after the loose balls, and that's what this team needs too. They're really, in most games this year, have been relatively close with every team in the loose ball battle every single game. So I think getting a guy in here who averages around, you know, 60 to 70 loose balls per season, and he was in limited playing time. From everything that I looked at, I think that's a good pickup for us, and it'll help us create more opportunities to score and hopefully, you know, play more as a unit this week against San Diego than they did last week against Buffalo.
Yeah, for sure. Loose balls are those one goals that we're losing games by. I mean, I saw a statistic right after the game where it's like the Wings have now lost like six games by one goal, three by two, and one by three or something. So yeah. It's like, we're always within winning distance. We just can't finish, obviously. I mean, what are like four of those coming overtime?
Three, I believe.
Three, yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah. Numbers aren't really my thing. But
I think Frank Brown said it best too. You know, they've kind of given games away, including last week. They were up the entire game until the overtime. So that's something that they just gotta figure out how to close. And you know, whether it's to make that mathematical push for the playoffs this year or just figuring it out now, so going into next season, it's there, it's locked down, and they can actually win those games that they've lost by those one score, two scores, I think is going to be important. So they definitely need to come out firing against San Diego this week because they've got goal scorers, they've got defenders, and San Diego's a team looking to get into the playoffs as well. So what are your thoughts on the game this week against San Diego, the expansion team matchup?
I'm excited for it. I think that we've got a lot of varied talent going up against each other. San Diego's kind of a Tasmanian devil, to say the least. I think that they're still figuring themselves out. And I don't want to say figuring ourselves out, but we also just don't know how to put multiple weeks together and play a complete game. I hope that we don't take the travel too badly. I hope that our legs are fresh and we're ready to go right out the jump. But no, I'm super excited for it. I think going out to San Diego will be really cool for the boys, and it'll be our first long road trip of the season.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of just take to, you know, the West Coast travel, going across the country for the first time all season, and how their bodies kind of adjust and everything, because any team and any athlete knows, you know, time change can mess you up if you're not preparing for it. So we'll see how they kind of go into things there. But looking at our picks from last week, Herm, your boy is struggling, and I don't
know. Before we go into this really quick,
yeah,
I have a proposal for you.
Oh, boy.
Now that Adam Jones is hurt, should Toronto sign the rights to Paul the Rabel?
I mean, it'd be cool. I just think he's so busy doing his PLL things that I don't see him returning to the box.
No, he should hire someone to do his PLL things and just finish out the season with Toronto.
Toronto or San Diego, like you said last week.
Okay, yeah, but because Toronto has the rights to him and they just lost one of their top offensive production leaders, they need that back.
Yeah, we'll see.
He might be a little... He might not like getting hit as much like that.
We'll see how that turns out. But for the picks, if I can find them. There we go. So your boy is not on a hot streak right now. And it's disappointing because I miss my dog and trophy emojis next to my name. But here is the standings following last week's slate of games. I go 1-3 yet again, sitting at 36-25. Dom goes 3-1. He's at 39-22 and retains the top dog title. Brooke went 1-3. She's at 28-27. Alex went 2-2. She's at 30-25 and cracks the 30 win total. Herm, you went 2-2. You're at 37-24, so one game ahead of me. Mikey goes 2-2. And he cracks the 30 win threshold as well, sitting at 31-19.
Yeah, 38 is big wins for me. I'm really excited to be here. I'm only one back from the lead dog, who I'm not saying he's getting lucky, but these teams are not helping me out.
Yeah, they're not helping me out either, and I don't know if it's. Man. I don't know if it's just that I'm losing my touch or, these teams are just, they're seeing the picks and they're just messing with me. But
yeah, I think it fires them up to see us all pick someone else, which obviously now I want to know when everybody else is going to pick Toronto because I'm obviously not going to pick them or New England or anybody else for that matter.
Fair enough. Teams on the bye this week, Herm, I believe are as follows. So, does not look like Calgary is playing this week after their big win, so they get to rest this week. Looks like Saskatchewan plays this week, and so it might just be Calgary.
I think it might just be Calgary.
No, Calgary actually plays. I am wrong.
Oh, yeah, Calgary does corrected. Play. I think everybody plays.
Does everybody play?
Are we at that point in the season where everybody plays?
Are we back to everybody playing, Herm?
Everybody plays.
Let's go. Everybody plays.
That reminds me. I'm really proud of what the NLL is doing here with you can play.
The right to play.
The right to play. Everybody has the right to play. No matter who you are, what you are, how you identify, whether you do identify. You will be accepted in the game, and that should be among sports everywhere. I mean, any sport, any league. And I really love the initiative here because it's important to make everybody who wants to start playing the game of lacrosse to feel comfortable playing the game of lacrosse and be who they are. Because personality is a huge part of what you bring onto the sports field, and without personality, the game would be boring.
Yep, and some good players on this list for the Right to Play Champions for 2019. Ethan O'Connor from the Buffalo Bandits, Zach Currier from the Calgary Roughnecks, Dan Coates from the Colorado Mammoth, the Georgia Swarm is Jordan McIntosh, New England Black Wolves is Colton Watkinson, our Philadelphia Wings are represented by the one and only Blaze Reardon, Rochester Nighthawks with Cody Jamison, San Diego Seals with Adrian Soricetti, Saskatchewan Rush, Ryan Keenan, Toronto Rock, Brad Cree, and Vancouver Warriors, Logan Shuss. I agree. I think it's a good little initiative that they're doing, and to continue to extend this partnership that they've had with Right to Play is only going to continue to, you know, grow the game and help, you know, big name people recognize that this league is legit, and we've started to see that, like we talked about last week with Geico sponsoring the league. So I think it's awesome, and they're doing a great job with it as well.
Yeah, you love to see it.
Definitely love to see it. One other thing, too, before I asked Herm what the time is, because I don't know what a clock is. This weekend is free content on BR Live. They're not a sponsor of the podcast, but you get to watch all the National Lacrosse League action this weekend for free. If you do not have the BR Live subscription, you can catch every single game, including the Wings, for free this weekend on BR Live. And I believe it also includes NBA League Pass. It includes all the NHL and MLB games that are on there. So really, really good opportunity to watch some sports this weekend on BR Live.
Yeah, what's the catch? Do I have to put down like a $100 deposit?
Nope, it's all free. It's kind of just their test run. So good for BR Live for providing the good content when everybody's playing this weekend.
Yeah, that's really important. I mean, the last free BR Live event I can remember was Phil versus Tiger.
smooth. But being that, daylight savings time has happened and I don't have a watch, Herm, can you let me know what time it is?
Time for the picks.
That it is, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for the picks. Kicking things off tomorrow, the only game on the Friday night slate, Georgia heads to Rochester in a battle in the Eastern Division, 7:30 p.m. start time. I think we can all kind of agree that Georgia already has this one in the bag.
Are you picking Georgia?
I mean, I think anybody that has the slightest of knowledge of how these two teams are playing is picking Georgia.
I might have to go Rochester.
Hey, man, it's your picks.
No, I'm just kidding.
You going Georgia?
Yeah, I got to go Georgia here. They're too talented. I think Lyle Thompson's going to come out and probably score about 6.5 goals. I guess the Leafs going to have a tough night.
Yeah, and they're coming off a big win, too, Georgia is, against Buffalo, so I foresee their win streak continuing against Rochester. But Rochester's not done this weekend because they play a back-to-back as they go on the road this time to kick off the Saturday slate, 7 p.m. in Toronto. It's the Nighthawks and the Rock. Herm, how you feeling?
So the three-headed monster is a little bit torn apart right now. They're really just crushing some rocks up there. But they're going to pull a win out here. It's going to be a tough win. The Rochester Nighthawks are going to grind this one out. But after all the transactions they made last week, they're not going to be able to keep up with the old Toronto Rock.
Yeah, Rochester's kind of going with a youth movement as they get set to move to Halifax next year. I don't know if you you saw the Avengers trailer today, Herm, or not, but I think even with Mr. Jones being out, Toronto is an Avengers-type team, and they are going to do whatever it takes to win, and they will beat Rochester to give them an 0-2 weekend for St. Paddy's Day.
Yeah, especially after that rough loss last week for Toronto. They can't do that 2 weeks in a row to me.
Yeah, they've had two really weird losses last week and then to New England as well. So I think they'll right the ship this week and take down Rochester on their home field. Next game, we move to the 9 o'clock hour. Colorado heads to Calgary in a Western Division matchup. This one's important for the standings in the West.
This is, yep.
This one's a big game in the West because if we take a look at the standings right now, Calgary is now sitting at 6-6, with Saskatchewan and San Diego ahead of them at 6-4, and then Colorado's 3-8, tied with Vancouver. So this could make or break Colorado's season. How you feeling, Herm?
This weekend, Colorado gets back into playoff contention. Vancouver falls to last place. I just slipped my hand on my next pick, but yeah.
So you're going with Colorado.
Colorado, baby. The Mile High State.
I am ready to ring that bell, brother.
Ooh.
Colorado has let me down 2 weeks in a row now, and they're probably going to end up winning because I'm picking against them, but Calgary looked damn good last week, and they're at home, so I think Calgary's going to pull this one out and continue to climb up that Western Division standing, kind of pull themselves close to even with the top two teams and make sure that they don't miss out on the playoffs. Calgary's winning this game in a close one.
Close one? Okay, I can see it, but no.
The next game, 9:30 p.m. This might be the game of the week.
It definitely is.
Buffalo heads to Saskatchewan to take on the Rush, the two top teams in the league. This is going to be a fun game. I'm very excited for this one. Buffalo, obviously, we know is the only team in the league with double-digit wins. They're 10-3. Saskatchewan kind of finding their way. They're sitting at 6-4, like we said. Herm, how you feeling about...
I would use top teams in the league very loosely there. No offense, Saskatchewan Rush fan. I know you're gonna come at my neck, but Saskatchewan's like...
I should say top teams in their respective
divisions. In
their divisions,
yeah, okay. Kyle, who are you picking in this game?
You know, it's tough. They're both very talented teams. They're both juggernauts when it comes to having scoring options. I just think Buffalo's defense and goalie situation are a little bit better, but not much better with the goalie, because Kirk's been playing really well for Sask this year, for the most part. I think I'm going with the Rush. I'm going to go with the upset because they're at home.
I'll take Buffalo.
You don't sound too confident in that one, Herm.
No, I wanted to take the Rush, but I need to keep gaining points on you. So,
well, I mean, you're already gained.
I'm kind of picking points against Dom right here, and I think Dom's going to... Dom might go Buffalo.
He might. He loves
Dom
him.
Has Dom seen his picks yet?
He has not.
Rush. I'm going Rush. I got to go Rush.
I like it. It's the upset pick. It's the upset pick right there. Next game, 10 o'clock, one of two 10 o'clock games. Our Wings, they fly west to take on the Seals, to dive into their arena out in San Diego. See what I did there? Hashtag puns.
Dad jokes.
How you feeling with our Wings, Herm?
Yeah. We're not very good on the road. We haven't won any game on the road. We haven't traveled out to the West Coast all year. We didn't play too well at the end of last game. San Diego did. And in that, I gotta go with the Seals this week. Sorry, Wings, I love you. I love everything that you do for me when I come to the Welly and get really hyped for our home games, but this week, I just can't see us winning.
Herm, I can't wait for Dana to come at your neck on Twitter when we tweet out the picks, and she's going to praise me because I'm ringing that bell. The Wings are winning.
She can come at my neck as long as she follows me back.
The Wings are winning this game. I think Frank Brown said it best in the press conference. You know, they've been in every single game this year. They know how to, you know, keep pace with the best of the best, and I think Paul's gonna light a fire under their asses this week, and the Wings are gonna go out west and they're gonna throw up the Wings W for West Coast and for a W. Wings win. Final game on the slate this weekend, Herm. The New England Black Wolves also going out west to take on the Vancouver Warriors. A battle of the rebranded teams?
Sure.
How you feeling?
Do you think that the Rock will start playing at the OVO Athletic Center?
Is Drake buying the team?
Not yet. Yeah, New England's gonna win.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Vancouver.
New England.
New England.
Does anybody have New England pick winning?
I have not received any picks yet, so.
Guys, come on, get on this. Can we not be such an unorganized program here? We're professionals.
New England's winning just based off the fact that Callum Crawford is still not officially suspended, and all the additions they made at the trade deadline. They're just nasty.
Can he
be
suspended in the next 24 hours, you think?
I think it's highly unlikely.
Like a serious question.
I think it's highly unlikely, to be honest. I think if it was going to happen, it would have happened on Monday.
Okay, so then I'll take New England. Yeah, I'm cool with that. However, I'm throwing a caveat in there. This is a signing statement from your president, Mr. Herm.
President intern.
president intern if and only if Callum Crawford is suspended in the next 27 and a half hours or up until game time. I will then take the Vancouver Warriors to win this game.
Even if Callum Crawford is suspended, I'm still going with the Black Wolves. They're hashtag stacked. And they went all in at the deadline to make sure this team is going to make the playoffs. And they're winning this game and continuing their push as they sit at 7-4. They could go to 8-4 this week. And if somehow Toronto loses to Rochester, New England would leapfrog Toronto in the standings. So a lot of standings implication games this weekend being played, especially with everybody playing. That's a big part in it, but...
Yeah, they got to play the games to affect the standings.
No bye weeks to sit on this week, which is good for the game and good for everybody to be able to watch it on BR Live for free. Hashtag not a sponsor, but... good on BR Live for allowing everybody to watch every single team play, especially with Rochester playing two games this week. So Rochester fans get to see their team play twice for free. PLL, Herm. Those are your picks of the week, though, brought to you by nobody yet.
Do you want to hear my picks of the week for the PLL?
My pick of the week for the PLL is Atlanta, because that's who they picked.
No, it was Baltimore. Or was that last week?
Baltimore looks like it was last week, technically.
Technically speaking, not since the last time we recorded, however. Therefore...
Fair enough. Your pick's Baltimore, my pick's Atlanta. They both work.
I mean, we could go to both.
Yeah.
Very drivable places.
100%. I
mean, Baltimore's only an hour and 10 minutes from me. You can guarantee I'll be at Homewood for that game. Or games. Fun fact, my mother and father used to live across the street from Homewood.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah, not a safe area at all. So, enjoy. But, that's exciting. I think that adding all these locations to the PLL will be huge for expanding the game. I think that it's going to draw a ton of fans and big crowds. And the Whipsnakes aren't going to lose a game all summer, so I'm super stoked for that. I mean, just... Go Terps.
It'll be interesting. I still have not selected a team, as everybody knows, because we're waiting.
Chaos.
We're just waiting.
Kyle, we all know who you're going to pick.
I have not picked out
jerseys and
I have not picked chaos, anybody yet.
So you're going to pick the Chaos.
I haven't picked anyone yet. I like the fact that they're going to Atlanta, and hopefully that just... grows the sport more to help out the Georgia Swarm as well for the box.
Yeah, they could really use some
part
fans.
Of the game. It still blows my mind that they don't have a sold out arena each and
you
every
know
week.
What it probably is. I heard that cell reception's been really tough in the Georgia area, the whole just state pretty much, and they're probably not getting their updates that the Swarm have games. So everybody, the only way you can hear is through carrier pigeon or like really, really slow mail because they can't use the scanners to scan the address to where the schedules were supposed to go to. So that's why people haven't been going to the games.
It just blows my mind because they won the NLL Cup 2 years ago and they don't have fans in their arena. Me personally, though, before we get back into the PLL, if they rebranded to the Atlanta Swarm, I think it would help.
That would involve being in downtown Atlanta, though, too. They would have to play where the Hawks play, probably.
Hey, I mean, the Philadelphia Union play in Chester.
They do?
Yeah.
Oh, the Union.
The Union.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the Soul for a second.
No, it's been one of those days.
No, the Union do. That is true. But I guess that would be an extension of Philadelphia. I mean, I don't really know Georgia well enough to like make a comment on this. If you're from Georgia and you're listening, just let me know because I've only been to like East Cobb. I guess that could be like Georgia kind of because you're close.
Because they're the only professional sports team in Georgia that outside of obviously college, you know, University of Georgia and everything that go by Georgia. Every other team I believe is Atlanta.
Georgia State.
I said besides college.
Oh. Yeah.
Because you have the Hawks.
You know what? That's probably what it is. Everybody's looking up the Atlanta Swarm schedule, and they can't find it anywhere. So they're like, oh, the team probably moved up to New England or something. No, it's the Georgia Swarm, guys. You got to get it right. You got to look it up. Make sure you get out to a game. They look like a lot of fun.
Yeah, they're a good team.
I heard you can pick any seat you want.
They're a good team. But Atlanta being on this PLL schedule is cool. They're playing at Georgia State Stadium. So that's another cool another football field getting utilized for the PLL. They're rolling out a nice little little map for this.
I'm really liking it a lot. And I'm excited to see it expand out west, too. I think they're kind of doing a little loop here. I think next we're going to see a stop in, like, Texas. I can't remember all the – probably Dallas. You know, it would be sweet if they did it at that Jerry World. Actually, they'll definitely do it there. What am I even saying?
That Jerry World. They'll do it.
Not Jerry World, not the like actual stadium, but that awesome complex that you put together with the helipad and everything for like a trillion, gajillion dollars.
Yeah.
But that would be pretty awesome. It has its own hotel, so fans, you can stay right on the site. I mean, it's a pretty sweet little stadium they have there. It's the Cowboys practice facility, but it also probably holds like 30,000 people because that's how many people go to their practices, apparently.
Easily.
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't want to go to a Cowboys practice? Duh.
I'm going to see if I can pull up the map of all the finals.
I think
there's
a mall, too,
so that place. I have the map here, Herm. So right now, from the finalist cities, we're going from Boston to New York to Chicago. So we kind of make that little tilt to more west, and then we come back into Baltimore. And then we go down to Atlanta. The other cities that are around Atlanta are Orlando, Miami, and then Houston, Dallas, and I guess you could put St. Louis in there as well without going back up north to the Charlotte, Raleigh section of the map.
Richmond.
Richmond's also on the map.
I know, they forgot about me. They just went right over. The thing about Richmond is I don't really know where they would do it here. We only have City Stadium, and it's kind of too small probably for an event like this. So I think Richmond was a really great idea. I couldn't imagine where they'd put it.
Yeah.
Other than maybe the campus of the University of Richmond, but that's also not big enough for something like this. So it was a good looks, but I wasn't getting my hopes too high on that one. So we'll have to make the trip up to Baltimore.
Yeah. I'm a little bummed that there's no Philadelphia as of yet.
Yet. I think that could be like a wrap up the whole tour.
Yeah, that could be like the championship spot.
No, didn't they announce the championship already? It was going to be...
New York's a playoff spot is what they classified it as.
I could actually see them playing at the Union Stadium since we're on that...
that topic. MLS...
Yeah, that's where they held the ACC championship a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and then you also have... I mean, it'll depend on the Eagles and the Philly schedule as well.
Right.
But you have Citizens Bank Park, and you have
they wouldn't play at
the Link as well.
I just think the Link would be too big potentially.
Yeah, I mean, they have the NCAA championship there. So.
Right. I just feel like that's going to draw a bigger attendance than the PLL final. As much as I would love for them to sell out the Link, and it would just be absolutely jam packed. The Final Four for NCAA is insane. I mean, you have never gone, I don't think, right?
No.
But when they play at the Link, it is insane. Like, just packed, awesome lacrosse fans, and it's a fun experience, to say the least.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We'll be there in some capacity.
Yeah, whether it's in our hearts or... Wait, that's not Memorial Day. Is it Memorial Day?
I'm not sure.
Wait, which one's the one in the...
Yeah,
is it Memorial Labor Day or
Memorial Day?
Yeah. Oh, I'll be up in Jersey, too. Yeah, we'll have to hit that up.
Yeah, whether it's tailgating or if we get credentials for it, one way or another, we'll be there.
Where do we just buy a couple tickets?
Yeah. What's your prediction for the next city out of those five that I listed that I think are, like, relatively, you know, adjacent to Atlanta? Because if we're following this map, it's kind of... going down to make its way out west and then circle back around.
So they went Boston,
New York,
up to Chicago, though, down to Baltimore, down to Atlanta. Actually, St. Louis.
St. Louis, you think?
Yep. St. Louis is... it's either going to be St. Louis or Dallas.
I'm going to go a little wild card here and say they're going to go to Orlando.
I like it, yeah. No, I could definitely see them playing in Florida, which would be pretty awesome.
You've got
Would that be at the Worldwide Sports?
That's my exact thought.
It's a great place. I don't know if there's enough seating there, though.
I still think they'd be able to pull something off. It's Disney.
I don't know. It's a very interesting complex there, and I don't know if, one, they would be able to have enough vendors, parking and stuff. They would definitely... they could probably do it. I mean, it would just be difficult because everything is so damn expensive around that area that when trying to draw big crowds, I don't think people would be very enticed to go to Disney necessarily. But, I mean... it's definitely not out of the question. It's a great facility. There's not really a big stadium there,
Herm,
for an event like that.
Herm, there is. I blanked. There's a soccer stadium in Orlando now.
Okay. Now we're cooking.
Orlando City Stadium.
Okay, no, I knew that was a thing. I blanked too. Yeah, that would be a good spot for it. That would be a perfect spot, actually. And they're following the soccer stadium vibe. Is there a St. Louis MLS team?
Let me check. Doesn't look like it, but there is a Francis Field for soccer. And there is a Herman Stadium.
Yeah, there we want it. Herman Sun Stadium.
And that's like at St. Louis University.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so maybe they're not. I like your Orlando pick a lot. I'll go with Dallas for my pick.
And then there's also Camping World Stadium in Orlando.
So yeah, Camping World Stadium would be a little too big, though, I think, honestly.
Multiple spots down there.
I like the vision, I do.
They have Spectrum Stadium, too, which is at UCF.
So true, They're big spots. They're utilizing the college campuses, and UCF is, I think they're a club program still, but it's an up-and-coming one.
Yeah, there's some big spots there, so... I think Orlando might be the pick. Who knows when we'll find out. They drop these things out of nowhere.
Next Tuesday.
Hey, that'd be awesome. I wish they would drop them on Thursdays, because that's our recording day.
Well, they did, today.
Fair enough. Good call. I wish they would do it more consistently, I should say.
On Thursdays. Yeah, there you go. We don't need Instagram and Facebook outages to get cities told
Shout
to us.
Shout out to Twitter.
Just give it to us, please.
But I think that's it. Did I miss anything, Herm? Or
we did a lot of talking today. I think we hit it all.
Yeah, I think that's it for this edition of Outside the Box right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. We'll catch you guys for a Wings post game following Wings and Seals, and that'll be up for your listening pleasure Sunday morning. So. Stay tuned for that. It'll be me and Herm for that one because the Wings are on the road. Herm's first post-game show in a while.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I'm glad you just signed me up for it.
Been since mid-February, so that's going to wrap things up. Shout-out to TeePublic for being the awesome shirt provider they are. Get your Ding Ding merch. It's our pinned tweet at OTBLaxPod. Follow us at UndergroundPHI, and make sure you're subscribed to us like we said at the beginning of the show. For everything Philadelphia sports, everything NLL, and everything in between, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, leave those 5-star ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts. They go a long way. Leave your prediction for your PLL city in your review, and we'll catch you guys next week. Peace.